100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Today's stories are from the weekly challenge on the topic of coward. I hope you all had fun writing these stories and recording them, and, of course, sending them in to me so that I can put them in this weekly challenge. See how it works? Pretty simple. Except that just gotta... whatever. How about I just get right to it, shall we? Let's, who's up first? John Musico got his story in first. We'll go in the order that I received them. Simple enough. Keep it simple. And keep it brief. Here's John Musico.
A Friend in the Devil by John Musico. Life had become unbearable. I yearned for death, but again thought, suicide is wrong. Once again I approached the low railing of the stairwell. Each time I returned, its presence became stronger, and its hold on me to return more compelling. It was 15 flights down to the concrete slab which stared up at me from the bottom of the stairwell. I stared back down at the slab, the heart of the stairwell. I thought, that thing, that monstrous thing, had an awareness of me. It wanted me. Then it began to grow, closer and closer, faster and faster.
Thank you, John. Faster and faster it goes. Let's keep this weekly challenge going faster and faster and faster and faster with Richard. Here's Richard.
Hello, hello. No, I'm not Danny Dwyer, but I do have stories for you. First story is part 45 of George's story, and is called Coward with a question mark. Until this point, it had never really occurred to George that the world might be coming to an end. Certainly it was in a bad state. Something had definitely gone terribly wrong, but he'd always imagined something miraculous might occur to save the day. Now, faced with the prospect of possibly imminent apocalypse, George lost it completely and began to blubber helplessly in the pew. The old woman hissed at him, "Less of that, boy! You must prepare yourself!" Rasputin leaned menacingly over him. "Or are you some sort of coward?" George looked up at the big man, whimpering. "Yes." And from that to this, it's called Mad Dogs. Noel Coward famously sang that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Whilst I can't speak for mad dogs, I think it's pretty safe to say that the Englishmen in question weren't quite so deluded as the song implies. Coward, happily ensconced in the pleasantly tropical climate of Jamaica, might be forgiven for forgetting the weather back home, endured by his fellow countrymen, was rarely disposed towards sunshine. Indeed, midday sun, or any other variety for that matter, was a commodity rarely enjoyed in England. Midday sun was a luxury that no real Englishman could resist. This is called Hero. I'm no coward, but I do hold to the principle that discretion is the greater part of valour. And let's just say, in certain situations, I can be very discreet. Running into burning buildings, getting into bar brawls, putting myself in the line of fire for the sake of others, all very noble and heroic deeds, but let's face it, they're all a bit brash, and only so far removed from attention-seeking. And that's not heroic at all. So, I fully intend remaining the very soul of discretion. Not cowardly, just shy and retiring, safe and sound. That's heroism. And finally, this story is called Yellow Streak. I've often wondered why the colour yellow is associated with cowardice, and why not some other, perhaps more appropriate colour. brown, perhaps, for obvious reasons. Or maybe lavender or teal. Coming to think of it, there's all sorts of colours we could employ to brand someone a coward. Puce, for example. But yellow is our colour of choice. And then I realised why only yellow will do. It's about the only colour I can think of that suits a cowboy gunslinger drawl. Get off of your horse, you emerald-bellied son of a gun! It just doesn't work, does it? And once again, I apologise for my dreadful American accent. I shall go and do penance for it now. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. I consider myself a mad Englishman. Even though I don't have the accent, I wasn't born there, and I've never really lived there. But still, I am mad. Thank you, Richard. Next up is Jeffrey. He's got some Mad Jeffrey stories for you. Let us all get mad together. Maybe even dance. Dance against the repression of people who dance. Which makes no sense.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. You know, maybe in Houston, when there's a storm coming, people stock up on soup and milk and toilet paper. But in the mid-Atlantic states, for some reason, it's bread and milk and toilet paper. Because I'm a dutiful person, every time I hear it's going to snow, I pick up the keys to the car, I go out, and I get all of those things. The only one that I really understand is the toilet paper, because I'm horribly lactose intolerant, and so getting and drinking the milk leads to, you know, obvious problems. But I don't understand why I've got to get the milk, and I don't understand the role of the bread in there. Well, at any rate, on with the stories. My first story today is called Mad Dogs and Englishmen. Noel Coward wrote that only mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Nationalities from Japanese to Bengali aren't as foolish as the English, staying under shelter during the heat of the day. Of course, that was years ago. Surely the English have learned better. I tested Coward's lyrics by renting a room in Delhi, overlooking a busy plaza. From noon to two, from my air-conditioned room, I watched everyone who ventured into the plaza. I saw only pale-skinned people sweating profusely. Not a single native in the group. I then realized that I didn't see a single canine either. Coward was too harsh on the species, as, mad or not, dogs all stayed in the shade. Only Englishmen were foolhardy, though perhaps Coward knew this all along, but the song wouldn't have worked with the line three words short. And my second story is called Heart of a Lion. After he left Dorothy, Sidney, the cowardly lion, tried to get on with his life. Reputation is a hard thing to shake, however, and he found himself in a lot of bar fights. Drunks thought he was easy prey. They challenged him to prove his courage, and Sidney felt as though he had to respond. What these drunks failed to realize was that Sidney, cowardly or not, was still a lion. He slashed and clawed at his attackers, leaving them bleeding on the bar floors. Although Sidney's self-esteem increased with each victory, tavern owners, wanting to spare themselves the damage and the lawsuits that accompanied him, barred Sidney throughout Emerald City. Well, those are my stories for this week. I will be back next week. Hope everyone has a good week.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and I wish everyone a great week, too. Good night. What? I need to keep doing this? Okay. Ah, man. I guess that means it's time for Tora. Okay, here's Tora's stories. Am I going too quickly for you?
A soldier was brought before General Wei, accused of desertion and cowardice. His commander related how he had left his unit during a battle to infiltrate a thicket from where enemy archers were harassing them. He killed them all, but this feat, declared his commander, he did only out of fear of the enemy's arrows. General Wei elevated the soldier to his personal guard. Then he imprisoned the commander, saying, "O great philosopher, who can prove that initiative is desertion and bravery is cowardice? Set yourself now to proving that imprisonment is freedom, and prison air is food and drink."
Thank you, Tura. That was pretty cool. Perspective I never would have thought of. That's what's neat about these weekly challenges. You get all these creative minds coming together, and people come at it from different angles, different experiences, stuff that they've seen recently that they want to try, or stuff that is weighing on their mind, or they ponder, they sit, and then the apple falls from the tree, and bam, applesauce. Very cool. Then again, sometimes things that happen recently, well, you should probably let them sit back. Yeah, I got some jackass coming after me for that Amiri Baraka thing. That person, they're an apologist. They're a self-loather. What? You thought he was a great poet? Yeah, screw you too. Oh, sorry. What was I saying? I was saying, how about some Muncie? I'm sure he doesn't say that people dance at whatever. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, Wrecking Cubes. And no, I wasn't kidding when I nicknamed you that. I laughed out loud on a bus, Lawrence. If that's not nickname-worthy, I don't know what is. Spoiler alert, I may not know what is. That's entirely up to you. Storification in 3, 2, 1. Diary of a Madman by Christopher Monroe. I work hard. I play hard. Except when I'm too tired to play hard. Then, I head home and pour myself 3 fingers of scotch. Single malt, 12-year or older. This is the bare minimum. Scotch acquired, the next step's an album from the 50s. I'd love vinyl, but I don't have that budget, so my iPod and dock has to do. Sinatra, Holiday, Coward, Fitzgerald. There are a number I alternate between depending on my mood, but the point is setting atmosphere. Because I am too tired to play. And sometimes a man needs a more civilized way to relax. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, Wrecking Cubes, and always remember, you will always be a part of me, yet you can never be inside me. Because you are cubes, and that would hurt. Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Monroe, a.k.a. Munzee Munzee! Crap. I should do that. I don't know. It's full of crap. You know what I really ought to use is I try to change the name to an unpronounceable symbol. If you've been following my tweets and my Facebooks, we're kind of obsessed with the Unicode pile of poo symbol. I think it's like Alt-0147. We're kind of obsessed with it at work, and we use it for testing everything, even though the Pearl Foundation and all those book writing people at O'Reilly, they obsess on the snowman. We're all about the pile of poo. And it's even on our test page. It just is. But I'm telling you, man, it's a crazy world out there. And this Amiri Baraka or Bakara or whatever the hell his name was. Well, as long as he's buried under the tombstone, I don't care how it's spelled. Just jerk. A bigger jerk than me. And that's pretty jerky, I'm telling you. One person who isn't a jerk is Jeff Hema. Here is his story. Listen. Listen to what the flower people say.
I am Cody Rhodes, here to show you the greatness of my talent and beauty. And you people, you better go look at yourselves in a mirror. You've got a face only a mother could love. I brought these paper bags. Put them on your head and hide your ugliness. You suck! You suck! The crowd screams. Look at that! Kane jumps out of the crowd and assaults Cody with a steel chair. Cody, as a coward, runs like a bat out of hell. What a shame. That's it for tonight, and we'll see you next week for a new show of WWE Raw.
Loved it! That was great. had all the heart and passion and feeling that I need on this Sunday morning. You are blessed. I bless you, Jeff. I bless you so many times because it's free. And all I have to do is say, I bless you and you're blessed. That's all. It takes no energy. Have you ever thought of that? When someone sneezes and you bless them, or if you don't, it just takes moving some air and vibrating parts of your body. Hopefully the right ones. Although, really, when it comes to vibration, does it matter what you vibrate? Coffee. How about we move to Tom, the greatest of all vibrations? He might have a very brief update, and then pass that through that chocolate envelope. Oh, the peanut butter of goodness. You know, I had a Butterfinger cup the other day. It wasn't so bad. But I don't know. Which one do I like more? Which one do I like more? Do you have to like one more than the other? Can you just like them? I'm starting to vibrate.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And the only update I got is that John Music Hall moves into the top 70 with 10 stories, just behind B with 12 stories. I've got two stories tonight. The first, a continuation of A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 36. The parishioners poured out of the pews at St. Rita Marina's at the Ruckus on the Roof. Everyone gathered outside to see what was happening. Father Tony made his way to Reverend Morehouse. All seven members of the ill-fated voyage were dangling from both church steeples. The pastors both made a call for volunteers, which was returned with deafening silence. Under his breath, Father Tony sighed, "Cowards," and made his way back into the church. Not to be left in the dust of moral ambiguity, Reverend Saxby headed up the steps to the steeple. The wind started to whip. Story 2, a continuation of Up the Rabbit Hole, Part 5. He handed he a small card that read, "Not brave, aisle 5. "What does that mean?" asked he. Without looking up, the clerk said, "Right side, halfway down. The super will be with you presently." He moved down the room till he came to a large sign. "Coward, not funny," yelled he back to the clerk. He opened one of the banker boxes. Inside was a drawstring top. He remembered the day he lost that top. It was to a kid twice his age and twice his weight. This was long before he had learned to take a punch. That's it.
Thank you, Tom. I took a little YouTube break there. I needed a break. I just was like, really? Do I gotta? I get like this some Sundays when I just lose it. I'll probably drape the power cord outside and run out there for a while, even though there's pretty good battery, whatever. How about I just hand things over to Lizzie? Would you like to hear that? Okay, here's Lizzie.
The town coward picked apples from a tree in the park when the town bully walked up to him and yelled, "Coward!" This was a routine they had since the early days of high school. As a matter of fact, the whole town knew it would happen each time the two, now adults, crossed paths. One day, the coward yelled back, "Bully!" He didn't know why he had done it. For a few seconds, he even regretted it. The town folk laughed hard, and the bully, caught by surprise, walked away, feeling for the first time the bitter taste of humiliation. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodkov.blogspot.com. And also check the Virtual Writers, Inc. website, virtualwritersworld.virtualwritersinc.com, where I have a new monthly column. And this column is about locations, which are called Sims in Second Life, the virtual world Second Life. And these locations could be inspiring for writers who use virtual worlds as a resource for their writing. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. She does these 500-word thingies Go to her site and learn more about those. They're like 500 words every day or every few days or every hour, just pumping out words, but they come together. They come together with meaning, and then you have a story. It's kind of cool. I went and got Thai food yesterday on the way home, thinking that Marksy was going to spend in the evenings. Nope, didn't. Again, and so instead of getting Thai for dinner, which I probably should have done, I got it for lunch and whatever. It just goes to show, don't base your schedule on other things. Be your own dog. Woof, woof. And speaking of someone who's their own dog, it's time for Sarah. Dippity. Serendipity.
If I had to choose a word to describe myself, coward would certainly not appear on the list. I take fear in my stride, stand firm in the face of any challenge, and nothing ever fazes me. Well, almost nothing. There's always a fine line to be drawn between stalwart bravery and reckless stupidity. And I know when the odds are just too high and when to beat a hasty retreat. There will always be occasions when the flesh is weaker than the challenge faced. When even the strongest stand no chance of success. Spiders in the bath, for example.
A bathtub full of spiders. Maybe that's what I'll do after I'm done with this. Thank you for the suggestion. Serendipity. Next up, we move on to the thing with the thing and the that. There are no bumboats in this one, but it's a sing. And his continuing novel in little bite-sized pieces that stand alone, but it all comes together somehow magically like Legos, except I'm not going to go see that Lego movie. I thought about going to see RoboCop, but I don't think I'm going to see that RoboCop movie. But here is Sing.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 26. In this installment, we're in the village with Margot in her schoolhouse and the children, with the monsoon pouring down. Suddenly, she was stranded on an island. Rain-soaked kids and teachers were crammed in a schoolhouse with no window glass, at war with thunderbolt, bull-roarer wind, monsoon. She knew her kiddies wanted mud pig time, to be let off the teacher leash to taste first rain. It filled the schoolyard like a moat. Gold veins of lightning cracked the firmament to underline her firm, not yet. Oh, madam, please, please. But she sat them down in rows as bold lightning lit up windows like an old photographer might discharge his trays of flash magnesium and magic puffs of light. Tell us a story. Tell us a story, please, chorused the children, bent on having fun. Perhaps a tale might unsettle restlessness. In her pig Hindi, Kumara could translate. The poison pond waited on her bookshelf. Quite apt, she thought, while sitting in this moat. Give me a moment, she excused herself, and came back with her quarter Mahabharat, the illustrated version brought from Delhi, mostly for kids, no doggy tail, no cat, the epic in brief, so much better than on telly at Barhai's place that day of mortal combat. Thus she began. The day was stinking hot. Sahadeva, youngest Pandava, was sent to find cool water in the jungle. He saw a crystal pool and bent to sip, but a white crane croaked. Answer all my questions before you drink. The pond is mine, and it will do my bidding. Arrogantly, he drank. She flopped her head down dead. Kumara waited. Then she blinked. With Sahadeva gone, they sent off Nakula, who found his twin sprawled out dead beside the pond. The crane spoke up. Nakula sneered, huh? Then drank. Then Margot clutched her throat and died with style. Soon, Madam blinked awake from story sleep. Arjuna, then Big Bhima, drank and died. Who really listens? Yogi came to mind. She fought back tears. At last, Yudhisthira then saw his lifeless siblings by the pool. Answer me before you drink. The pond is mine and it will do my bidding, spoke forth the crane. Yudhisthira paused. What would you do? She probed her audience. They didn't know. Okay. Ask me then, Yudhisthira said. 100 questions later, the crane was pleased. I'll grant one life, just one. Impossible choice. Such agony it was, forced to choose between his lovely brothers. Brother Nakula. The children gulped. So why him? The white crane asked. At least one son of Madri's lives today, one from another mother. I was born of Kunti. In this way, both survived through us. Yes, family is number one. They understood. Then Atul broke the silence. So what happened, madam? She saw how well that she had pulled them in. Her puppet-headed acting had jollied up the tale of dying siblings. Well, the crane brought them all to life. They sighed, relieved. Margot straightened shoulders, cleared her throat, and pretended to be the crane of the poison pond. Stepping from his chariot of thunder, a god appeared, she boomed rhetorically. I am Yama, god of death, your real father. This was a test, Yudhisthira. You've passed with flying colors. You see, all with detachment. As you protect the way of righteous Dharma, I will protect your lineage. Then he vanished, leaving them to rub astounded eyes and hug their elder brother with deep love. She bowed before the kids, who clapped and cheered. Eyes that had changed from fierce anemones to sad red poppies were back to normal brown, and the monsoon wind and lightning had died down. It was time for them to run. They fled the school, sloshing about the moat of mud and dung, quickly letting go their highly strung, cooped-up energy in the poison pool. It wasn't time, but she said, go on, go. Kumara first, then Rajinda and Prakriti, who ankle-waded through the monsoon sea, spraying and splashing as lovers, quid pro quo. She slumped down in her office, some time out. The loss of Yogi and the storm cloud shift and telling the water tale had set her adrift in depression beyond all reasonable doubt. Atul waited outside, her eagle scout. The wet had come to stay. Now school was out and Yogi was gone to the other side of mud. A face of grief was upheld by two hands, and anger was her runaway desire. Two cheating husbands had defected, two slapped-down lessons were enough per life. No more dumbbell couch potato sport with beery smoke mouths, soggy TV brains who knock girls up then hit the pub, and cursed conquistadors of shoebox cash, replacing her stashed savings with blank-cut paper wads. What lacuna of the eye had blinded her? The Yogi Project had been her final hope. Now, different kind of water, her inland sea of salt, dropped upon the table, the couldn't care less of loss, her fortress of stress and island of freakout, still wanted him back, or Ophelia underwater. An absurd expectation to drown in ankle sludge, stay in dung-water dungeon, playgrounds of boneyards, smell the buffalo effluent, bodies are shit factories, windows have no glass, you are as transparent. Braveheart, you're a coward, hoping for a helpline, Heaven or hell water pour equally from eyes. Is this bucolic idyll just paying off old karmas? Take nothing for granted. Husbands are compost. Better to be the one to do the kill than be the patsy detail culled. Sending him off had stopped Ophelia's poor me brain from drinking marshes. Better to be the Draupadi who had five husbands at her royal rites to push blokes off like cuckoos from her thighs. Only trouble makes you stronger, stripped of queendom and a jeweled throne, the fashion statement Zari, saris with gold and silver weft through peacock blue. Stay strong as Draupadi's tough love, yet free to make a jungle bed and lie in it alone if one has to. So she had waved him from her falcon wrist, a calculated risk she had to take. A raptor might otherwise fight for air, and later blame would turn to beaks and claws. Perhaps he would fly back, yet the plan was flawed. Still needing surety that a trainable bird, peregrine blue, her prince with finer hopes, might wear the falcon hood to keep him blind. No, intelligence must have its wild wings, she knew deep down. Release had hurt, though. Her loud machine of feeble tears began, and the long monsoon broke down, howling with loss across the dusty desk. You've been listening to Chris Mooney Sings Foreign Madam and a White Yogi. Tune in next week for another installment. You can also check out my website at chrismooneysing.com or check the program notes.
The pond is mine. The wrecking cube commands you. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Sing. And we're just piecing this together. It's like a puzzle of pieces, a puzzle of puzzle pieces. And it'll all come together. And then he'll put it up on his site and we'll be like, yeah, okay, time for the incense. Lay back and enjoy. This is kind of cool. What's next? Zach Mann. Maybe he's putting together a puzzle piece of stories. And then in the end, he'll go, and here is my production. We'll all go crazy.
Well, there's worse things to spend your money on, but I thought you were timid and never expected you to get one, said Zach. Really? You're no friend of pain, and you're pretty cautious yourself. Weren't you afraid when you got yours? Asked Joe. I lost my wedding ring. Admittedly, I had far less fear of the sting of a clean needle at a licensed parlor than telling my wife about the ring. And I don't have to take it off when I'm working with electricity. Now tell me, Joe, what will your tattoo be? My hero, Wade the Duck from U.S. Acres.
Thank you, Zach Mann. Who was that duck from U.S. Acres anyway? Those crazy U.S. Acres. Acres, I tell you. I'm sick of people who say acre. But then again, I haven't heard it for a while. So good. I'm no longer sick. I'm healthy. Healthy as a horse. Unless it's a sick horse. Then, or a dead horse that's being beaten. I'm not sure. Maybe I should just play Spate's story. That's a great idea. You should do it.
Hey, hey, it's me, Spate. My story this week is called No Survivors. And here it is. When challenged, and you believe beyond absolute certainty that you are in the right, you must hold steadfast. You cannot be a coward when faced with that moment, or all your moral principles will crumble into a broken heap to be dragged behind you for the rest of your life. Stand firm with clear eyes. No thoughts of retreat or compromise. Now that destiny has come, do not turn and run. Be solid and true and just, and do what you know you must. Protect your honor and pride. Afterwards, they say he said, "Throw your popcorn in my face."
Thank you, Spate. And the next time I make popcorn, I will throw it in faces. The faces that are around me in the shadows of the... No, this is not Night Vale. I tried to listen to the last Night Vale, and I just got bored. It was intern Dana, I think, just came in. It's like, really? It's like, boring. I didn't even last until the weather. I hope they don't do something like that for the live show when they come down to Houston. That's right. Live show in Houston. They were going to do one in Dallas. And it was like, oh, you're coming to Texas and you're going to do Dallas. Fuck you. But then they added Houston and it's like, okay. You can get fucked later. No San Antonio? No Austin? No Austin? The center of arts and all that is wonderful? Huh, weird. And then maybe they'll change the show to Austin when they realize that Houston didn't sell out. I bought tickets, you know. I bought tickets. But these people, these New Yorkers, they're just so New York-y. Maybe we ought to have a topic of New York. That would be a fun one. No, it won't. We never will have one. Ever. If you want one, make your own podcast. Make your own weekly challenge, and you do it. Or you just record it and just send it to me. I'll put it up during the week. But I'll never have that as a topic. Ever. In fact, we may just do a topic of I Hate New York. Hey, any of you out there from New York? Guess what? I hate New York. One thing I don't hate, though, is Julie, unless she's all about New York. Until then, here she is in her story. I think it's an important one, so let's just get all the hate out of me. You know, hateful little man kind of thing. I'm not very little at all. I'm kind of fat. But still, get all the hate out. Breathe out. Okay, now breathe this in.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Julie here, offering up a 100-word poem this week on the word coward. This one's written in memory of one of my favorite poets, a lady called Maggie Estep, who passed away a few days ago in upstate New York. She's only 50 years old, but would highly recommend you looking her stuff up. This one's called "You Were Never a Coward." Dropout junkie stripper poet, pole dancing word mistress of the absurd, skulking, snarling, slicing words in black, kicking Doc Martin ass through puddles of East Village shit. Sluts and eunuchs were your friends. You did what none of us could. Tell me, when did you see a poet on MTV? On stage at Lollapalooza? Did Sylvia plunge into the mosh pit with Henry Rollins? Did Denise Levertov roll in the mud at Woodstock? Of course not. Oh, Maggie, you talked fast. You were nervous at first. Took your rough frailties, baby girl, and did what we all tried. You were never a coward. Well, thanks, Lawrence. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you have a great week. And it's Julie signing out. Take care.
Thank you, Julie. I'm getting Doc Martens kicked everywhere. Wow. Yow. Do you own Doc Martens? What do you do with them? Who do you kick with them? Me, I don't. I wear Justin Ropers and cheap sneakers. Well, actually, they're walking shoes, but cheap walking shoes. Is there a song about that? Oh, who gives a fuck? Let's move on to Cliff. Let's move forward with him. Let's move on. I don't even remember the topic. Oh, coward. Just want to get this over with.
The Oklahoma Kid and Black Scar Pedro faced off in the street. The good people of Pontiac City hid behind their doors and waited for the bullets to fly. And waited. and waited. Finally, Milton, the card sharp from back east, stormed out the saloon doors and demanded to know what was going on. When each of the gunfighters told him that they didn't want to die, Milton proceeded to quite loudly call them cowards. The two men took offense at this and expressed their displeasure by filling the card player full of bullets. The townsfolk cheered. Nobody liked Milton.
I don't like Milton either. In fact, let's all hate Milton. Maybe he's from New York. We hate New York, and we hate the fact that Milton is from there, and we will fill him with bullets. Or not. I don't know. I'm just going to sit here for a while. Sorry, Norval Joe, Danny, Planet Z, your stories are going to have to wait. I'm just going to sit here. Maybe I'll watch some YouTube videos or an episode of Fringe. There are weeks where I just don't give a fuck. You can hear it in my voice, can't you? But I said, one a day until the day I die.com. Maybe that doesn't mean weekly challenges. Maybe we ought to just give this up. You know, who else wants to do this? Who wants to take this over? I'm not excited today. I don't give a shit. I've got the coffee. I'm not doing laundry. I don't have that much to do. Don't care. It just doesn't matter. Should probably clean up this table or desk, whatever you want to call it. Maybe we should get a real desk for this, although it needs to have space for the 32-inch HD TV. There's such thing as a monitor that's too big. I want to tell you that. And this feels like it's too big. It just doesn't work right. Maybe I need an external keyboard, and then I've got the mouse, and then I'll sit differently, like over here. No, that's whatever. How about here? Let's just get this done, and then I can bitch about this without recording it so you don't have to hear it, and this doesn't demoralize you and stop your writing and recording. Well, I feel like you're just pumping blood into a dead guy. Whatever.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 408 with a prompt of coward. Here's my story. A man in a black cowboy hat stood in the middle of the dusty street, his hands hovering a half inch from his pistols. The townspeople scattered to hide from the inevitable gunfight. "I'm ready for you, Sheriff. I can wait all day if I have to," he called toward the town jailhouse. The wooden door creaked open, and the sheriff walked out into the street. "So, why did they call you Howard the Coward?" the sheriff asked when he stopped in front of him. The gunfighter spat and said, "My real name's Hosmer, and that doesn't rhyme." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. So, let's say that you do Lizzie's Dash thing or whatever, the 500 words. Okay, you now have 400 more words. Either that lets you breathe a little easier, like, oh, thank God, trying to get this down to 100 is killing me. Or you're like, oh my God, how am I going to fill all that empty space? I'm just going to go all that time. Whatever, do whichever. Or is Flying Island Press still out there? You can be a part of them. Where did Steve Saus, the nuclear man, go? You can go over to him. You can go do Drabblecast. You can do the other stuff or the this or the Way Too Fantasy. There are all kinds of other sites out there. So maybe I'll go there. Maybe I'll be like, whatever, fuck it. It's over. And then move on. And then I'll be undead. I'll be a zombie. I'll be a Ooh, the zombie show is on tonight. Okay, I need to watch that. Right. Although I've got... Okay, so when I ordered Thai yesterday, I got spring rolls, mee krab, the green beans for Gina, although she only ate a part of them and whatever. But she liked them. But I got those for her. And then... what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. Green curry chicken. Ganja masaman. They don't say that word anymore. So I was looking up, where the fuck is it? Where the fuck is it? Where the fuck? And I look on the menu. Oh, there, green curry. And I was worried that it wasn't. But I had potatoes and it had this. And it's like, okay, I think that's it. No peanuts, though, which is confusing. But still, man, it was good. I needed it. And plus, they give extra sauce, so you pour it all over the rice. And then your heart seizes up. You know what else happens? You listen to Danny's story.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer back here again. Yeah, so I took a week off. I mean, I had an idea about last week's challenge soon. And I just couldn't flesh it out yet. You know, maybe I'll post it next week. But this week, I am going to post this week's challenge, 408 Coward. I got a good idea. And let's see what the rest of you think of it. So here we are with Weekly Challenge 408, Coward. I was so busy falling in love and failing miserably at it that I forgot to live. So I dropped out of the whole dating scene entirely. Call me a coward for avoiding pain, but honestly, I've never felt more alive than I do now. Every morning is a new opportunity to create the meals that I cook, the gardens I plant, the art I draw, or to experience the rivers I kayak, the paths I bicycle, and the courtrooms I practice in. I welcome everyone to join the journey of the life I love, but I'm done with chasing love. And that's this week's entry, and please, visit Danny Dwyer at WordPress.com. Wait a sec, I think that's the site. DannyDwyer.WordPress.com. Hey, it's that simple. DannyDwyer.WordPress.com. And enjoy the Danny Dwyer experience, which I'm told from time to time can be quite negative. But suck it in and deal with it. I know I do. Later, folks.
But suck it in and deal with it. Ooh, is that domain available? Maybe I'll change to that domain. The hell with one a day until the day I die.com. It's from now on going to be suck it in and deal with it. .gov. Yes, I'm going to get a .gov address. I'm going to be the government. Fuck you, I'm the government. .gov. One more? Okay. Now that we're done with the Danny Dwyer experience, you've taken a break, you've gone to his website, you've surfed around, you've sucked in the negativity and felt like a wrecking cube, Planet Z.
Despite being a veteran of every not-quite-a-war during his lengthy service, from headquarters to behind enemy lines, the only weapon Major Hiram Axelrod had ever used was a violin. He regularly brought people to tears with his skill with it.
"Better than Perlman," said Stars and Stripes, and Perlman had been quoted as agreeing.
No, Axelrod wasn't a medic, he was a chaplain. An unusual one. A confirmed atheist. A true non-combatant. But his music, oh, his music, so heavenly. He'd smile, put his violin away, and wait as the paratroopers quietly took advantage of the distraction. Well-armed paratroopers.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of coward. I hope you enjoyed them all. Please let these people know that you enjoyed these stories in the comments at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. If you don't, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? The other day, 1 Billion Rising, I created an art piece. I didn't want my name on a sign. I just wanted to have it stand there and build. If they want to write something about it and say something. They were telling the organizers, but those folks weren't telling me, and it's like, well, whatever. If you got to tell people. You got to tell people what you think. Say it. What's it going to hurt you? Let's say you think it sucked. Fine. Say it. And they'll be like, oh, it sucked. And then they might come up with a story based on that. whatever. Let people know. Don't just silence. Unless there's nobody listening to this, and, well, these stats must all be spiders. A bathtub full of spiders. Maybe we'll make that the topic next week. Nope, sorry. It's formula. See y'all next week. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.